sunshine. Yeah. Yeah. Michelle, who was sitting up here and now is in the back, her mother passed away this week. So we need to keep her in our prayers and such. So we're working through the Gospel of Luke, and Luke is for those of you who are students of Scripture, Luke maybe has like 5 or 6 ideas per chapter. It's just you could do 100 sermons on Luke, and I'm not going to do 100 sermons on Luke. What I'm doing is I'm taking several of those ideas and finding a unity in them and sharing them with you. And we've been talking a lot about disciples being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Last time we talked about the idea of, you know, as disciples we know who He is. We understand that He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He's the one that can give us life. We also share in His power. Those who were under Him went out, and they had authority and power. We're going to look at that again today. We also know that we share in His suffering because of who He is and because who we are. The world does not often like us and often will find reasons to persecute us or somehow keep us down, that kind of thing. We also share in the mission of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing, I think, more important in being a Christian than being engaged at some level in the mission of Jesus Christ. That mission is always first. The first part of it is being a disciple. In other words, you can't really be engaged in the mission of Jesus if you don't belong to Him. So it's about becoming His person, trusting in Him, and having His work going on in your heart and life, changing how we think, how we behave, what we believe is important in the world and what have you, right? But the mission of Jesus then is to go out and tell others, and that's what we're looking at in chapter 10. The Lord sent out 72. Before, He sent out 12, just the apostles, and this time He sends out 72. After this, the Lord had appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of Him to every town and place where He was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating, drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house." So here Jesus is giving kind of a microcosm of what the church is supposed to be about. He selects 72 of His disciples, and He puts them in pairs, 2 by 2. So you have 36 teams that go out sharing the gospel, the message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They're supposed to go out and in this case prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come after. It says wherever Jesus was going to go, He sent these guys out first, right? So that is our mission. Our mission is to go and to proclaim the good news of who Jesus is. To tell people that there's a way to be close to God. To tell people that the sin that ruins so many lives and ruins so many homes and destroys so many relationships and so many souls, right? That there's a way to be released from all that ruin, from all that sin, through the cross of Jesus Christ. There's good news that we can become the children of God, right? And that's the mission, is to go. To get out into the world, to go and look for the harvest. You know, there's a harvest that God is interested in. You know, there's folks, you know, around us. And when I first came to this neighborhood, I walked around. We had, we never had a lot of people in the church, but we had a lot fewer than we do today. And you know, I'd walk around this neighborhood and I'd see all the kids and all the people out there, and I just knew that, you know, some of those people belong to God. Some of those people belong to God. Some of the people you know, you think about all the acquaintances you have, all the you know, relationships that you have, all the things that, you know, some of those people belong to God. And what Jesus tells us to do is go out there. Go out and tell them. Tell them the good news. Tell them who Jesus is. Tell them, you know, what they need in order to find the kingdom of God. They need Jesus. They need to be released from the power of sin and from the power of the enemy. So you got to go, right? The imperative of the text is go. Go. Get out there. Share the good news. We try to do that here, right? We're, you know, I was just telling Barb this morning, at the end of May, we will finish 25 years in this neighborhood. We've been, you know, and during that time, you know, we developed the food program so that we could share the gospel. And we have the VBS so we can share the gospel. And we have tutoring so we can share the gospel. And we, you know, have all the ministries we do with the adults and stuff here, right? And we're trying to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And over a period of years, we have told this neighborhood a lot about Jesus. We've told them the truth about who He is. And I just feel like that's so important for us to hold on to that kind of a mission, to be engaged in that mission, because that's what Jesus sent His people to do, to go and tell, to go and let people know, right? Well, the other part of it is, He says, I'm sending you out like lamb among wolves. We have a wolf ridden world out there. I wish I could tell you, you know, when I first came here, I thought, oh man, you know, we're going to preach the gospel and people are going to come in droves and you know, it'll be like so great because everybody wants to hear about Jesus. Everybody wants to you know that grace and that power and the joy of celebrating Jesus. And I couldn't imagine the idea of, you know, people not coming, people not believing. But in the years that we've tried to share the gospel, there have been, you know, many more times people who've rejected the good news as those who've accepted it. And we know that, you know, last week we were here, we were worshiping God, and while we were praising God, somebody was out there, you know, breaking into cars, right? We are like, you know, lambs among wolves. There are people that will talk bad about you. There are people that will, you know, this morning we got here and, you know, the yard was littered with beer bottles and beer cans and people had had, you know, parties on, you know, our holy space, right? Well, the thing is, we should expect that kind of opposition because that's, you know, is that what Jesus said? He said, I'm sending you out. He didn't say, I'm sending you out and everybody's going to love you and everybody's going to support what you're doing and it's going to be great, great, great. He said, I am sending you out there like little lambs and I'm sending you into a pack of wolves. You know what wolves do to lambs? They will tear a lamb apart. You get that piece, and we pull. And it's, you know, they will rip a little lamb apart, right? And Jesus said, that was the image that Jesus gave us. He said, you know, He's not saying, hey guys, this is going to be easy. This is going to be fun. This is going to be a thrill a minute. He's saying, this is going to be like war, and by the way, I'm sending you out unarmed. I'm sending you out, you know, again, a lamb. Lamb doesn't have a teeth to bite back. Lamb doesn't have claws, you know. They're defenseless against the wolves of the world, right? But what's important? What's important? That we're out there, that we're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that we're telling people who He is and what He has done. And we're trying to help people understand, you know what? There's something better than this world. There's something better than Southwest Detroit. There's something better that God had planned for you. God had a better design in mind when He created you, when He made you, when He breathed life into you. He had a purpose for you that is far above anything you can accomplish in this world. It has to do with becoming His child and living in His kingdom, to be with Him forever, right? Well, so, you know, He says, go out there. I'm not going to talk about it. And then He said, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Again, there's always the ministry of therapy, the idea of healing and giving people, help with their needs, with the struggle in life, and telling them the good news that the kingdom of God is here. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. So he said, even when they tell you, we don't want any of that Jesus stuff. We don't want any of that, you peddling your little messages here and there. I had one guy, one time out in the street, got engaged. He started to argue, and he just said, why don't you preach me? And he swore at me, sermon. I'd seen him at funerals and stuff like that. And I just knew, that's sometimes that's the attitude. It's like, we don't want anything to do with you. And so when they would go to a town like that, when they would, meet folks like that, he said, shake them off. So I tell you, it'd be more bearable on that day than for Sodom, than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sodom, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sodom as judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me, and he who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Here Jesus gives out the here's the problem with us, right? We're out there, we're trying to share the gospel. I know some of you guys are, you've tried to share the gospel in the college community, trying to share the good news of Jesus Christ among people who really don't have a lot of room in their hearts for the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't know what kind of opposition you face, but I know that there's a lot of opposition when you try to share with intellectuals, when you try to share with our secular society about who Jesus is, right? And Jesus said, it really is this matter of, to some were the smell of life unto life, and to some were the smell of death unto death. Our hope is always when we go out to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that some heart will open up, that someone will call upon the name of the Lord, that there'll be a transforming grace that'll enter into their life, and hallelujah, they will be saved. And we love to think about that, as that's our goal, right? We don't go out somewhere saying, I'm going to preach to this crowd of people and I'm going to talk to them about Jesus and they're all going to tell me to go away. They're going to tell me they don't want anything to do with Jesus. That's not our hope. That's not our goal. But our purpose is to tell. Our purpose is to stand there, to go out with the message. No matter how hard it is or no matter how many people accept or reject the message, our purpose is to go out and tell people the good news, to tell them the truth about what Jesus has done for them, how God loved them and sent a Savior, how God intended them to be children and to live with Him forever, right? That's our goal. That's our mission, to join in and do what these guys did. And Jesus told them straight up. He said, listen, some towns you go to, they're not going to welcome you. They're going to lock their doors and tell you to go peddle your paper somewhere else. They're going to want nothing to do with you. Some places are going to be like that. Some places are going to be hard. The church tends to go to where things are easier these days. One of the things that, God called us to was to be in a hard place. To be in a place where, we don't have many 20-year-olds in this neighborhood that confess Christ, because the street pulls them down and they end up going out in the world. They make decisions to follow, what's out there instead of, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a hard place. It's a place where sin rules and, so many drug houses. One time I talked to a guy about getting off of drugs. And I said, tell me all the places that, where you find drugs. And he started a list and he's going down this page and he got down to the bottom of the sheet and he said, listen, you got to understand, if I go in any four houses in any direction, I've got a drug house. The neighborhoods are so bad, the kids are being ripped up by it and stuff. And God has called us to stand in the middle of that and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that people will hear. Our hope is that people will come to Christ. But even if they don't, the mission is to go. The mission is to tell. The mission is to give the good news. And it's not up to us, you know, again, whether they respond or don't respond. Let me just slip down. There's a story that Jesus told at the end of these narratives. Some of you know the parable, the Good Samaritan. It's an interesting transition between Judaism and Christianity, right? We're talking about the gospel going out. We're talking about there's a hardness that, you know, people don't always want to hear the gospel. They don't want to always, you know, receive it. And then, you know, the other side of it could be a hardness on our side, to where we give up on somebody. You know, one of the things that people said about me before I became a Christian? There was no hope for me. I would never change. That's what was said, and sometimes right to my face. Often, I'm sure, not so much. But it's told straight up, you'll never change, you'll never be any better, you'll never be any different, right? This parable is talking about a man that was on his way to Jerusalem. Let me read. He says, on one occasion, an expert of the law stood to test Jesus, and he asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now, in the Old Testament, you know, you could kind of narrow down who you were supposed to be with. If you're a Gentile, oh no, I'm not even supposed to talk to that person, right? A man with a woman. No, you can't talk to a woman. You're not supposed to do that. And they had all these rules and regulations. So this guy's trying to say, you know, I can kind of pick and choose who my neighbor is, right, Lord Jesus? And so Jesus told him the story we know so well, the Good Samaritan. A Samaritan, of course, was like, it'd be like a Mormon or a Hindu or a Muslim, or it was someone who was in a cult, and they worshipped God in a false way. And they were half-breeds. They weren't all Jewish. They were a mix between Jew and Gentile. So they were like, you know, really bad people in the eyes of the Jewish people. So Jesus says, well, there was a man who was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and on his way he got hit by robbers, and they beat him up, and they left him, you know, bleeding and wounded and naked off of the side of the road. And he said, and a priest came by, and he saw that, and he went off to the other side of the road, and he stayed away from the guy, didn't acknowledge him, didn't help him. And then he said, a Levite, another priestly type person, whoops, walked by. Oh my goodness, I gotta fix you. There you go. Probably won't help. Another person, a priestly person, walked by, right? And he said, nope, I'm not going by there. And he walked away from him, right? And then the despised person, the Samaritan person, he sees him, and he has pity on him. He sees him and he has compassion, and he says, you know, I'm not going to leave you wounded and beaten and you know, lying there. And he goes down and he has mercy. He fixes his wounds, and then he puts him on his mule, and he takes him to the inn, and he tells the innkeeper, you take care of this guy. When I come back, I'm going to pay his bill. And Jesus asked the Jewish fellow, he said, now which person was his neighbor? Was it the priest? Was it the Levite or the Samaritan? He didn't, you know, elaborate. And he said it was the one that had pity on him. The one that had pity on him. Well, what was Jesus trying to tell him? And what is he trying to tell us? Who do we share the good news with? Who do we share the good news with? Who is it that, you know, they're out there, they're in sin, they're struggling, they're beaten down, they're so messed up, they're like that animal that's knocked down and can't stand up on their own, weak and wounded. They need Jesus Christ in their life. They need healing in their life. They need strength in their life, you know? And the fact that they're a Muslim, the fact that they're a Hindu, the fact that they're, you know, a stranger, the fact that they don't share our pigmentation, the fact that they don't share our economic position, the fact that they don't share so many other things that people use to discriminate. Jesus is saying, you know what? You can't disregard anyone. You have to share the good news with everyone. I find it sad, and I've said this to many of you, that the church in America, for the most part, tends to share the good news among those who have money rather than the poor and the weak. And it's pretty sad to say that, you know, that's the direction that the church has taken. That's the direction that they've taken in trying to, quote, follow Jesus and being Jesus' disciples and carrying out Jesus' mission. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have to say, you know what? Everybody needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Everybody needs to know that God has sent a Savior. Everybody needs to know that God loves them. Everybody needs to know that Jesus Christ gives you power to live and become the children of God. Everybody needs to hear that message, no matter who they are. Jesus is, I think, in this, you know, the way that Luke put these together, the idea was to put it together in such a way that you'd see, you know, the objective is to go. Going's going to be rough. Some are going to hear, some are not going to hear. But you have to share with everybody. You have to share with everybody. We never want to catch ourselves saying, you know, there's, you know, I would share with that person, but there's no hope that that'll penetrate. People mess their lives up in such terrible places. They bring themselves to such ruin. They bring themselves to such a low point. And you say, you know, there's no hope for that person. I mean, just literally months before Jesus Christ became my Savior, months before God did a transformation that was rather remarkable, people said that about me. There's no hope. Folks, in the good news of Jesus Christ, there's always hope. As long as somebody is breathing, as long as somebody can hear, as long as somebody can say, yes, Jesus, there's hope. Our goal is, you know, to do the work, to follow Jesus in the mission, to share the good news. Hard places, hard hearts, hard people to share the good news. Because in the good news, there's always hope for transformation, for change, for someone coming to know the Lord. Let's you know, as we're disciples of Jesus Christ, we want to follow Christ, we want to be His. Let's carry that out into our conversations with others, into the world around us, and never give up hope that somebody is going to hear the good news, and somebody is going to say yes to Jesus, and somebody is going to have their hearts transformed because of the power of the gospel. It works. It's awesome. It's real. Let never give up hope that you know, if 1,000 say no, God wasn't looking for that 1,000. He was looking for that one that says yes. He was looking for that one. Why? It's the harvest. It's the harvest. That's what He's looking for. So let us be about our Father's business and continue to share. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, we thank You so much that You call us to be disciples. You call us to be Yours. And we thank You, Father, that You bless us with the good news. First, we're blessed in our own hearts that the good news is at work in us. It's changing our hearts, changing our minds, leading us, mighty God. And then, Father, we know it's a message of hope and life for all who would say yes to You. I pray for us, Lord, that we would willingly and with hope share the good news of Jesus Christ, knowing that You're looking for those who will say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.